All right, welcome back to Sports Byline, Coast to Coast, Border to Border, and on the American Forces Radio Network, courtesy of Ectio Shoes. Rick Barry is joining us for another segment. Rick, thanks for your time today. And, you know, when going back to when Chris Mullen had his jersey retired and Joe Lacob came out and grabbed the mic and wanted to be a part of it, and he got booed from the crowd because he had traded Monte Ellis, he had hired a coach with no experience, he'd hired a GM with no experience, but you got up there, you got his back, and you said this guy was going to bring a winner. And I was very skeptical, but you were right about that, and I got to give you credit. What was it about Lacob that you saw that a winner was coming?
Well, he was willing to spend the money, and he also was smart enough to bring a guy like Jerry West in as an advisor. And Jerry West was probably the preeminent successful general manager for an extended period of time with the Los Angeles Lakers. And you have to have somebody willing to make that commitment. And, I mean, look at what they're doing there. Look at how much money they're going to be putting up to build a new arena. I mean, I don't know how in the world these, you know, people just get so carried away with themselves. And what was bothersome even too, it was not fair to Joe, but it was an insult to Chris. This is Chris's night. What are you doing to go ahead and rain on Chris's parade? That was ridiculous.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Sterling case, because I would imagine that you've met this guy over the years. So when you first heard, and it was a really dirty, underhanded way we got this audio, but once it was out there, the league had to react. Did you have any feelings about your personal dealings with Donald Sterling? I mean, do you know the guy, Rick?
Well, I've met him on a number of occasions. I was not, you know, certainly aware of the various things that he was involved with and his conduct for a number of years in the Los Angeles area, where he was fined millions of dollars because of discrimination situations, and then the deal with Elgin Baylor, which I had heard about. But the only thing I found out about him is that it was kind of a joke trying to deal with those people, because I would go to him to talk about something, and he'd say, go talk to Elgin, and you go to Elgin, and you talk to Elgin, and he'd say, go talk to Donald, and, you know, so you get the runaround. And so it was a very disconcerting experience. But the guy got what he deserved. I'm so proud of Adam Silver. It was the defining moment for his commissionership. He established himself as a strong commissioner, willing to take a stand, meted out the most severe penalties that he could impose upon Sterling, which I think were totally justifiable. So I'm really happy about that. I'm just really upset with, and I've been on shows. I was on CNN on TV, and I was on doing stuff with Spike Lee and doing stuff with all kinds of other people, talking to him about this. And these reporters keep wanting to make so much out of the fact that the NBA didn't act on David Donald Sterling because everybody knew that he had these problems, and why didn't they do something before, instead of just rejoicing in the fact that they did something when something like this came up. The bylaws in the NBA, bylaws in there, and for the NBA owners, is that something is done that has a detrimental cause or effect on the league itself. The other things that he was doing with apartments and things of that nature, that wasn't bringing any negativity to the NBA. Nobody knows what was said to Donald Sterling in the closed meetings they may have had. But what happened the moment they had something come out that had an adverse effect on the league, look what they did. So instead of complimenting the league and Adam Silver on that, they got to go ahead and try to bring up all this other garbage they didn't do something before. I mean, it's so typical sometimes. And then one reporter, and I got to bring this up, this lady says, well, what is everybody complimenting Adam Silver for, making a big deal? He's just doing his job. I said, well, okay, well, that's great. So I guess if this lady were to write something that was just an extraordinary article about something, let's forget about ever giving her any award, because why? Isn't she just doing her job?
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I guess the New York Daily News says that Sterling is going to try and sue, and I would imagine he's going to make this as difficult as he can. But Rick, just, I mean, going back to your playing days, I felt that the Clippers, I mean, here's Doc Rivers, who I thought did a great job handling it. You know, they had their eyes on the prize. They've been working on this their whole lives, training camp year after year, and here they are in a position to perhaps maybe win a world championship. And yet you've got other African-Americans calling them Uncle Toms, and so they had to do something. If Adam Silver just said, oh, he's suspended for a year and we took away a couple draft picks, the league might have shut down. Kevin Durant said he wouldn't have played. Steph Curry said, I mean, this was the only possible outcome we could have had.
Well, I'm sure that Adam took that into consideration and talked to some of the other owners about it, but they didn't hesitate in a very short period of time to come out with these severe penalties. and they made the right move. And the players made the right move. They made their little demonstration, the Clippers I'm talking about, before the Warriors game up in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And then they went down and took care of business finally down there and wound up winning that game. And now they have a game 7 that they have to face, so they're still getting challenged here. But to have done anything, considering the penalty that was handed down, other than the little display that they made, would have been foolish, because the game and the fans should not have to pay a penalty for the foolishness of Donald Sterling and the insensitivity of Donald Sterling. And so I was really pleased with the way everything, you know, came about. I really was. It was really great. You know, let me say one thing, because you're an Armed Forces Service. I just want to thank all of those service people who are listening in. My prayers go out to you. My thanks go out to you. This country wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for our military. I happen to live in a military town where we have so many things going on here with Fort Carson and Colorado Springs and NORAD and the Air Force Base and the Air Force Academy. And so I just have great respect and admiration for all of you who put yourself in harm's way and are there for us. So thank you so much.
All right, very well said. A few more minutes here with Rick Barry. We're going to talk about Ectio as well. But it made me think of this, like, what does an owner really mean outside of your boss of any company that you work with, as a guy who signs your checks or as a guy who represents you? I think, in a way, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you loved Franklin Muley. You were happy to finally bring him that championship. And in a way, I guess you were lucky that you didn't have a miserly owner that you hated, right?
Yeah, well, Franklin didn't have a lot of money. I wish he had the kind of money some of these owners have today, but he was just a wonderful person, and it was really great, and we had the situation with my leaving, which had nothing to do with him, and he kind of, like, considered me like a son, and unfortunately, we've lost Franklin. He's passed away, but, it's a great thing to have a coach and an owner that you have great respect for, and when you achieve success, you're happy for them as well. And that doesn't always happen. A lot of guys have to play, and they don't like their coaches, and they don't like their owners. And that's an unfortunate situation, because sports should always be fun. It should be something that's enjoyable. And when the fun goes out of it, it takes so much away from it. And I experienced that late in my career. I wound up playing, you know, on some teams where it wasn't fun for me to play the way it was going on. And in fact, even the year we almost won the championship in 67, I mean, and God rest his soul, Bill Sharman is no longer with us. He's a wonderful guy, but as a coach, he wasn't fun to play for. And the game had always been fun for me. And people say, well, it's your job. Well, a job could still be fun, and it should be fun. Mm-hmm. Because if you're doing what you love and you have a passion for it, you should be able to go out there and enjoy yourself and not have somebody out there who's leading you or is your boss or your superior who's taking the fun out of it and making it into a job. That's what I tell people when I talk to them, and young kids. I said, look, find something you have a passion and love for so that you can get up in the morning and say you're going to go do what you love to do, and you can get paid for it, as opposed to getting up in the morning and saying, man, I got to go to work today. That's not a good life.
Well, and you think about the guys that led you, and I remember when you won the championship, and Al sticking up for you guys, as Bill would say, Bill King would say, a wild swinging match. He was in the locker room. He had already been kicked out, and he said he didn't come out on the court. He wanted to let you have your moment. So when you went into the locker room and you saw Al Attles and you were able to embrace him, what was that like?
It was awesome, because you knew that Al was there with you, and you know, having been a former player, and he was a former, you know, teammate of mine. In that 67, when we came so close to almost beating that great 76er team. So I was just delighted for Al that he had the opportunity to experience that, because he never had it as a player, and now he had the opportunity to have it as a coach, and was the coach of a team that pulled off the greatest upset in the history of the NBA, and probably the greatest upset in championship history of the three major sports in our country. There's not another team that was as big an underdog as we were at the start of the season, to get to the finals, and then we're supposed to be swept, and we sweep the team that's supposed to sweep us. It doesn't get any more dramatic than that. So I was delighted for him, for Franklin, for everybody involved. It was really sort of like a fantasy year, and it would always be the highlight of my professional career.
Well, and it still is the highlight of that entire franchise. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Ectio shoe, because something that used to plague me when I was playing college football was the twisted ankle, and I think about playing basketball, and how many guys twist their ankles or just maybe strain a little ligament in there. And I know the Ectio shoe is revolutionary because it's all in one piece, the shoe and the ankle support, right?
Yeah, it's the only shoe ever in the history of the game that's patented technology that is actually proven to help prevent the most prevalent injury that occurs, which is the ankle sprain. And it's a comfortable shoe. I was totally sold on it after my youngest son, when he was in high school, went up, and he's a leaper like my son, Brent, highest vertical on his college team, and he came down so crazy that there was no way he wasn't going to do something to himself. And the doctor said, "Yeah, I can't believe he didn't break his ankle, and the fact that he doesn't even have any instability." He said, "This is incredible." And I told him about the shoe. He said, "Well, it's probably what saved him." Mm. And so that made me a believer out of it. And so I'm doing everything I can to get the word out there. I just don't understand, I guess it's egos again, why a company like a Nike or Adidas or somebody or Under Armour wouldn't just buy the rights to this shoe and know that they have the best shoe ever in the history of the game and just take it out there and make it readily available and promote it. It's well-priced. And if people go to EKTIO.com, and they put Rick Barry 24 in the promo code area, they can get an extra discount. It's a terrific shoe, and if you're serious about the game, I highly recommend it. And I don't know why anybody, even on the NBA level, if you're not getting paid tons of money by a shoe company, why would you worry about getting some warm-up suits and some other kind of gear and wear their shoe when you can wear a shoe that actually can help prevent you from injuring yourself?
All right. All right, once again, I want to remind everybody, it's on the web, ektio.com, RickBerry24 promo code. Rick, always great having you on, and love the insights and the opinions. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Hope the Warriors win tomorrow night, and we'll catch up with you down the road, I hope.
All righty, take care. They're going to have their work cut out for them tomorrow night.
Yeah, they will. All right, I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.